And we are live.
And we want to welcome all those folks who are listening to our service. I want to welcome them into it. And it's good to see all of you that are here this morning. And let's take our Bible this morning and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be reading, starting with verse 13 in 1 Peter chapter 1. Looking in verse 13, and we'll be going all the way down to verse 25. Give you just a moment to find that. But it's been a good week. Lord's blessed, and looking forward to some rain this week. Y'all pray about that. We need some rain. And God's people ought to pray about that. Amen. It's not a trivial thing. It ain't up to the weather, man. Amen. It's up to people that need rain to pray for it. Amen. The weatherman don't make it. Amen. I just want to get that through your head. The weatherman ain't the one makes the rain. He just reports it. So we can't just rely, I hope the weatherman gets it right. No, let's pray for God to send the rain. Amen. And there's a cold front. Some of this crazy weather. There is an Arctic blast coming from the polar regions of the polar whatever ice region up there. I don't know where that comes from. Anyway, way up in Canada somewhere, there's an Arctic blast coming down, and this heat is all going to move out toward Arizona, New Mexico, and I'm doing weatherman this morning, and this cold weather's going to come down, and they say we may get some rain out of it, and cool temperatures, 80 to 85. So that's freezing in this time of year. But anyway, down here in Texas, so praise God for that, and we'll enjoy that weather, amen. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 25 this morning, the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Now, that's an odd statement, isn't it? Gird up the loins of your mind. If you just take that and think about it, what in the world does that say? You know, I think what it's saying is get it together, man. Get it together. Get your mind right with God. Amen. Hey, when somebody says gird up your loins, they're saying get your clothes on, get ready to go. Amen. So gird up the loins of your mind. Get yourself ready to go for God. Amen. Be sober. Be serious. That's what that means. And I believe it means don't drink too, but it also means be serious and hope to the end. Amen. Don't lose your hope in what God is doing. Amen. God's still working. Even though it looks bad in America right now, God's still at work. All these things have to come to pass. Don't get fearful just because you see destruction going on around you. Listen, the children of Israel, they were in the midst of bondage, and God delivered them. I think God can deliver us in the midst of this. And if he doesn't, we'll be in heaven, so what difference does it make? Amen. And either way, I'm going to be pleased with what God does. Amen. The Bible says, "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's don't miss what that's saying either. Amen. I could probably stay in this verse here and just preach all morning, but I'm not going to do that. But I just think about that. Amen. We're to be hoping for Christ to be revealed. You just think about that. When Christ is revealed, amen, we see him, and there's no going back to this wondering what he's like. There's no going back to this trying to picture his glory. There's no going back to this thinking about what heaven will be like. We'll know then. Hallelujah. So Peter says, hey, get serious about this. He says, as obedient children who want to make sure they're pleasing, amen, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't act like you did before you got saved. Don't live like being saved doesn't make a difference. Because if you're truly saved, it will make a difference. There will be a difference in you somewhere. God doesn't move in and sit dormant and quiet. God works where he's at. Amen? If you're not doing something for God, you're bothered about the fact that you're not doing something for God if you're saved. Amen? He said in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In every area of your life, you are to try to emulate your heavenly Father, trying to imitate him, trying to represent him in every area. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, and we're his. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons, see, God didn't look at one as better than the other, judgeth according to every man's work. He's an equal opportunity God. Everybody has potential to begin with. Amen? He judgeth according to every man's work. He said, pass the time of your sojourning, or you're making it through this world, here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Let's don't skip any of this. I want to get all this right here. It's such good stuff. Listen to what Peter's saying. He said, listen, you weren't saved because you had money. By the way, hey, that ought to speak to the Catholic Church this morning. Listen, they're paying. There's some of them trying to pay their loved ones out of purgatory. Y'all realize that? They charge relatives to keep their loved ones from going to hell or staying in purgatory. That's a ripoff, scam artist ripoff. Amen? And it's false, it's fake, and sending people to hell. It's ridiculous. It's out of hell. Amen? He said, listen, you weren't redeemed with those things. He said, from your vain conversations, your empty life, received by traditions from your fathers. Do you know there's so many people in this world who say, well, that's the way we've always done things. Well, it's not right, but yeah, but that's the way we've always done it. That's what he's saying you were redeemed from, the way everybody's always done things. You're called to do things God's way. Amen? All right, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. That means God planned this from the foundation of the world, but was manifest or made open in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, by Christ. If it weren't for Christ, I wouldn't know God. That raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls, saying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Seeing, he said, that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. In other words, the only way that your soul got purified is you obeyed the truth of the gospel and you believed that Christ was your only way to heaven and you understood that you had to come to him in repentance and faith and you had to believe on Christ. That's what he means by obeying the truth through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit led you to understanding of your lost condition and led you to Christ. Amen. And he said, now that you, he said, and what it produced was real love for the brethren. Amen. That's why we love one another here. It's not because y'all are any better than anybody outside these doors, but we have something in common that I don't have with everybody else. Amen. We have a relationship with Christ that draws us together. Unfeigned, real love for the brethren. He said, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That fervent means heavy duty. Heavy duty love for one another. Don't skimp on the love for one another. Amen. He said in verse 23, which is our text verse this morning, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Not of seed that goes bad, not of seed that won't germinate, but of incorruptible. Something that cannot be tarnished, it cannot be changed, it cannot get too old. Amen. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It doesn't ever change. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. And what he means by that is this, the grass withereth. It's only here for a while. This old body's only here for a while, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God to meet with us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you this morning. We want to give you glory, Lord. We want to tell you how much we love you and we thank you for your holy word. Father, I praise you this morning, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to use me this morning. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would just fill every fiber of my being. Lord God, that you'd absolutely control this life and this body and these lips and these thoughts. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that everything that I am you'd use as a tool in your hand for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray you'd fill me up and pour me out this morning for these dear people. Lord, and God, I pray if anything stands in between us and you, Lord, any sin that we've not confessed and we've not forsaken, oh, Lord God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would shine the truth on us and draw us into a understanding of a need to be cleansed before you, Lord, that you might fill this vessel. Father, I pray this morning you give us understanding of your word. Preach through me the message you'd have them to hear. Lord, we pray for each and every one who's listening this morning. Pray a blessing be upon them. Help them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's just get right into it so we can move along and get done with it. But I want to say to you this morning that we're going to talk about verse 23. And he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, he's drawing a comparison. He's using seed to help us understand the Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. That's what we'll move on to another illustration next Sunday. But this morning we're talking about seeds. And seeds are something that I understand very well. Seeds are something that I enjoy. Seeds are something that it goes along with gardening every year. I look forward to about January, because about January I get my seed catalog starting to come in. December to January, they start coming in the mail, and I get excited when I turn through there and look at all them pictures, all them cool plants that I can grow. And I buy all these seeds, and I hardly ever get all of them in the ground, and I've got boxes and boxes of seeds. Some of them probably ain't any good anymore. I'm like a kid in a candy shop when it comes to seeds. I love gardening. Amen? I absolutely love it. But on that thought of seeds, the seed embodies the plant. Everything that plant's going to be, it's right there in the seed. The Word of God, the same way, not only does the seed embody the plant, but the seed controls the plant. Everything comes from the seed. And everything comes from the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God, from the Word of God comes the fullness of God into the life of a Christian. Amen? And from the Word of God comes the power that controls the Christian life. So very much as the seed, so is the Word of God. Again, we look at that being born again. How did I get born again? By this Word right here, this seed right here. The preaching of the Word was sowing seeds into my life. Amen. The Hollis Pertle was a pastor, and he was preaching messages that were sowing the seed into my soul. Amen. Shirley Simpson was my Sunday school teacher, and she was sowing seeds in my life. My mother was sharing Scripture with me. It was sowing seeds into my life. I was seeing the Word of God played out in the lives of people around me. It was sowing that seed into my life. I had others around me sharing with me the need of salvation. It was sowing that seed into my life. Amen? So I thank God for His Word. And what does that seed do? Amen? What does the Word do? John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit makes alive. Amen? He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh has nothing to do with it. It's the Spirit. He said, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, the Word of God, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Life. Life-giving words. A life-giving book. Amen. A life-giving faith. Amen. Listen, those who are lost don't understand life. They have never truly lived and they've never truly loved. They don't understand what this is all about because they don't have Christ. And without Christ, there's no hope. Amen. I've got 3 points this morning. I'm going to try to give them to you as quickly as I can, try to get an understanding across to you, and we'll get right through this and we'll be gone. Amen. Number one, listen to me. First of all that the plant is ever going to be is dormant in that seed. It's there. You can open a seed package and spill them out on the table. You can play with them. You do whatever you want to. You can look at them, but you can't tell what's in them seeds until they bloom. Amen? But it's there. It's there. I mean, listen, you think about how many different kinds of flowers there are in this world. I mean, they're beautiful, and again, until I got to be a grown man, I guess, and got comfortable in my masculinity, I never really truly appreciated flowers. But I do. I appreciate flowers. I look at flowers now, and they amaze me. For that simple reason alone, to see God's handiwork. And when I begin to appreciate flowers for the simple beauty of those are God's paintbrushes. That's God's handiwork. God did that. I can sit and look at them and just be in amazement at the detail that God put into some of these flowers. It's just amazing. And listen, the beauty of each individual flower is there in the seed. Every brilliant color, and there are brilliant colors of flowers all over this world, and I just get amazed by when I look at them. But all that brilliant color is there in that little brown, dried-up seed. Every distinct fragrance. Think about how different the flowers smell. They're all different. They all smell, some don't smell too pretty, but some smell beautiful, just awesome. But that smell, it's in the seed. Amen? Each shape, and they're all different, it's in the seed. Every different flavor of every different herb is there in the seed. Every scent is there waiting in the seed. The sweetness of fruit, the bitterness, the tangy, the tart, the ability to sustain life, all there in the little dry seed. Hey, it's amazing when you really think about it. Seeds are all different colors. They're all different shapes. And they're all different sizes. I mean, some of the biggest plants in the world have the smallest seeds. Mustard seed's tiny, but it makes a huge plant. I can look at these different seeds and I think, man, how does that make such a big plant? And this one here, I mean, it's bigger, and yet it don't even make as big a plant as that other one. I mean, it's just, I don't understand. Oh, God did it. Amen? But you think about it. They're all different colors, all different shapes, all different sizes, but they all have one common thing. All one common thing amongst all of them. You know what it is? Potential. They all have potential. They all have the potential to be something great. They all have the potential to propagate and reproduce. It's there in each and every one of them. When the good seed of the Word of God is received into the soil of an honest heart and it blooms, it produces fruit in the believer's life. Just like the seed, when it's planted into good soil, produces fruit. Amen? What does the Word of God produce when it's planted in a believer's heart? It produces Christ-like character. Amen? Just like the seed from a tomato goes into the ground, it doesn't come up. It's not an eggplant. It doesn't come up and it's bananas. Amen? What does it do? It produces the character of the mother plant. If you plant, listen to me, if you plant red tomatoes, you're not going to get yellow tomatoes. Amen? If you plant cantaloupes, you're not going to get watermelons. You're going to get something that represents the mother plant that you got the seed from. And that's the very way that the Word of God does. Amen? It reproduces the character of the one who sent it in the life of the one where it's planted. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want us to look at verse 2 and following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll get a drink of water while you're turning there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. Considering this thought of a seed and how it blooms and how it matures and how it what's in there, how it comes forth, amen? How that it's dormant at first, amen? And then once it's planted, it just matures and becomes all that it's going to be, amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 10, Paul said, "We give thanks to God always for you all." All those folks at Thessalonica, at that church that he established there, he said, "We make mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing." What does he remember without ceasing? Your work of faith. See, what was planted in their heart produced something. It produced a work of faith. He said, and labor of love. suddenly these people who didn't care anything about serving God, the seed was planted, and it began to grow, and it created a faith and a trust in God, and then it created a desire to work for God and do something for Him. And he said, in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. It created a longing and a waiting for Jesus, a looking forward to being with Him, but a patience in waiting and a desire to labor and to love while they're waiting. That was created from the seed of the Word of God, amen, as it began to spring forth in their life. And verse 4 says, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. Listen, they know they were called of God, amen. He said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. They didn't just hear it. No, it came in power and in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God I didn't just hear the Bible. I didn't just hear the words. They were alive. Amen. Hey, when it sunk in there, guess what happened? It became alive. It came to life. It began to move and work and churn inside my heart, and it began to come forth. Amen. He said, "In it came forth in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And where the Holy Ghost shows up, there is power." He said, "And in much assurance." Amen. When the Holy Ghost of God moves in, when God begins to work in the life of a believer, there is assurance that God is real and He's working in your life. He just reemphasizes the fact that he's there and he wants to do something with you. He loves you. You're important to Him. Amen. Everything in this book was done for you, for Him. For you, for Him. He said, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And here's what happened. More began to happen. You became followers of us and of the Lord. What happened? Well, they began to change from the way that they were. The life that they lived there in Thessalonica, being a paganistic, being heathens, they changed. And they became followers of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. They became followers of them. They wanted to pattern themselves after those disciples. And also of the Lord. They wanted to follow the Lord. They wanted to be like the one they came from. Amen? Can I tell you that you can do all the staking up of a tomato plant you want to? You can try to make a tree out of it, but let's just be honest. It's a vine. And it don't make no difference how high you stake it. That dude's going to fall over somewhere. Amen? You can't make it something it's not. Listen, it's going to become what it is. And a Christian's going to become a Christian. A believer's going to be a believer. Amen? That's what he's saying here. This is what happens. The character comes forth from the seed. The presence of God comes forth from the seed of the Word of God. He said, you became fathers of us and the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction. Oh, it wasn't easy for them to be Christians back there in the early New Testament days, back there in the first century. It wasn't easy. They were living in a pagan society. They were living under the rule of Rome. They were living under times where a Roman centurion would ride up and he would demand that someone burn incense to Caesar. You know they could do that? They just ride up and say, you burn incense. In other words, you worship Caesar. And if you didn't worship Caesar, it was imprisonment or death. So they were living in a time of much persecution. There may come a day and time in America where if you say something ugly against Obama, hey, they may lock you up. I don't know. Or the next one, Hillary, whoever it's going to be. Oh, it could be Hillary. Maybe not. It may be somebody worse. We might get Joe Biden. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. I mean, it could be worse. It can get a lot worse. Amen. It can get worse than you think it can get. Amen. But he said, you know what? You received the word in much affliction. It wasn't something that you backed off of when things got tough. No, you said, hey, I'm going to serve God. I don't care how hard it gets. Listen, can I tell you something? Y'all ever seen the pictures of a plant growing up through pavement? I saw one this week. Somebody had posted one of those on Facebook, said never give up. It was pavement, I mean like asphalt on a road, and there was a yellow flower that had busted up through the pavement. Listen, I thank God for that. Listen, the Word of God's like that. The seed of God springs forth even in the toughest conditions. The Word, the power of God, this manifested presence comes forth in the midst of the darkest places. Hallelujah. It's good stuff, folks. He said it with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, when the Word of God manifests itself in your life, the Holy Ghost gets excited about it. The Holy Ghost of God gets to working. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. He's got to have, this is what he works with. These are his tools right here. Amen. Listen, when this word is preached and taught and learned and hidden and memorized and meditated upon, the Holy Ghost of God has all his toolbox to work with, and he can do tremendous things and bring forth the manifested presence of God in your life. And he said all these things happen in verse 7. He said, so that ye were in samples or examples, that's what he's saying, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of God, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but unto every place, in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we not need to speak anything. Paul said, listen, it didn't just spring up a little. Man, everybody heard about what happened to you. You let others know. You weren't bashful about it. You weren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You went forth proclaiming what had happened to you, and people heard about it all around. Listen, it manifested. It grew up. It bloomed. It blossomed. It produced fruit. That's what the seed of the Word of God will do. He said, for they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Oh, would to God that America would turn from its idols. America has lots of idols. Amen. People worship the stupid television. I know y'all think people don't really watch. They don't really worship their television. Well, yeah, they do. It's more important to them than God is. They worship their boat. They worship the lake. They worship Disney World. They worship all kinds of things. Listen, whatever it takes to keep them out of church, to keep them away from God, listen, that's what you're worshiping. That's what's important to you. That's what you put above God. You don't tell me people don't worship that stuff, because that's what it is. It's worship. Amen. It's more important to you than God is. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they turned to God from idols. Listen, they had plenty of things, and they had plenty of traditions. They had plenty of people around them who were telling them, listen, don't put your idols down. You're going to need these things. We've always had these things. And they said, no, we don't need that. We're not a part of this anymore. We're different. Something's been planted down inside of us, and it's growing, and we don't need all this stuff anymore. Listen, hey, we don't need this world anymore. We have God. We have heaven. We have his blessing poured down upon us. Amen. He said, and to wait for his son from heaven. Now, listen, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus to come, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. These people started out as pagans who didn't know Jesus. And now, here they are. They're going everywhere proclaiming his love, proclaiming his salvation. What's happened? I tell you what's happened. They bloomed, and the colors are brilliant. They bloomed, and the fragrance is strong. They bloomed, and the glory shines forth because the seed grew. Now, there's something about that we got to understand. To bring about out in the open what lies dormant in the seed, something has to happen. See, I can look at all them. I've got hundreds of seed packets. And in wintertime, guess what I do? I get them, I lay them out on the table, and I think about it. And I mean, you know, I categorize them. I put them in this group of plants, or these are herbs, and these are vegetables, and these are more like onions and stuff like that. I mess with it. I shuffle them around like playing cards. I ain't planted none of them. I'm just looking at them. Now, can I tell you something? Ain't none of them ever sprouted on my table. Not a single one. All winter long. I can handle them. I can do anything with them. They ain't going to sprout on my table. In order for what's inside that seed to come out and be what it's going to be, those seeds have to be placed in a favorable environment. Has to be. Back in the 1800s, I'll tell you a little story. Back in the 1800s, a vase was found sealed in a mummy pit in Egypt by a British adventurer. Digging in there and with a bunch of mummies and everything, finds this vase. Well, he packaged it up and he sent it to the British Museum, and it was open and promptly dropped and broken by the librarian. Isn't that something? Well, the vase was hermetically sealed, which means no air getting to it whatsoever. And when it was broken, inside they found 3 or 4 grains of wheat and 1 or 2 little hard, shriveled up, hard as a rock peas. Now, those peas were planted on June 4th, 1844, in a controlled environment under glass. And guess what happened 30 days later? They popped right up out of the soil. Who knows how many thousands of years them seeds have been in that vase? I got a good friend who lives out here at Rawhide up toward the river named Dale Lackey. As a matter of fact, he brought me some beans one time. And he said, I want to give you some of these beans. He said, I got them in Colorado. He's driving a truck back then. He said, these beans, not these right here, he said, but originally these beans were found in a clay pot in a cave in Colorado. They were put there by Indians hundreds of years ago, and it was sealed. They found them, they planted them, and they grew. And they've continued. We had some last night. As a matter of fact, the beans we had last night, they're half red and half white. They're speckled. I mean, they're mottled or whatever you want to call it, like a pinto horse. These are real pinto beans. But where did they come from? They came from a cave. They'd been sitting there dormant for all these hundreds of years, and somebody planted them. Now, yeah, they got to be kept right. But the fact of it is, once a seed's placed in a favorable environment, it's going to grow. If the seed's still good, I can tell you something. This seed's incorruptible. You can't kill it. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I read that verse to you to show you this. There were some people here Paul was talking about in Hebrews 4, 2, that the gospel was preached, but it didn't do them any good. Okay? Why did the word not do them any good? Listen, we say, well, you know, people just need to hear the word. Well, sometimes they don't receive it. You can preach somebody over and over and over and over and over, but if they don't allow the seed to sink into their heart, it's not going to do them any good. People sit in church, and they'll shout you down, amen you to death, but they're lost as can be because the word's just going in one ear and out the other. People sit down and read the Bible. I read the Bible back and forth. I read the Bible every day. If you only read it like a newspaper, it ain't going to do you any good. The word of God has got to find a place to find purchase. It's got to reside in a favorable condition. And here in Hebrews 4, he said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It matters whether you responded. It matters whether you responded to what you felt and what you heard, or whether you responded to the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Understand it. There are people who gotten very emotional in a church service. It might have scared them what they heard, and they came emotionally to an altar. Now, they didn't come because they were under conviction for their sins. I'm trying to show you something this morning. There are many who came because of an emotional experience. Oh, I was overwhelmed by the preaching. And I came and I said some words. I wasn't under conviction. I was just scared, or I was just emotional. Can I tell you something? Unless the Holy Ghost of God is working in your life, you will not receive it. Amen? And what brings about this working of the Holy Ghost in one's life, I can tell you what, somebody is working the soil. How do they do that? They're praying for you. Amen. Hey, listen. Somebody cared. Amen. Listen, I can tell you right now, those seeds, again, I've got seeds in my house. I got plenty of seeds. But if all I do is set them on the table and I never go out there and I never take an instrument and I never bust that soil up, I never work that soil, I'm never going to have a place for that seed to go to grow. And so I'm telling you, somebody needs to go to praying for somebody to get saved. Amen? You pray for them to get saved. The seed gets sown. The soil is ready to receive it, and therefore it brings forth fruit. Amen? But it won't do that if we don't sow it in the right place and in the right conditions. I say it matters whether or not you responded to the conviction of the Holy Ghost in repentance and faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at verses 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. I'll get another drink of water while you turn in there. Matthew 13, 18. Again, for the seed to grow, it's got to be placed into favorable conditions, or it'll stay dormant in the seed and it'll never come forth. It'll never be what it's going to be. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Jesus said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." See, you sit in a church service, and again, nobody's prayed for you to be saved. You can hear it. You can hear the word of God. Your heart's not ready to receive the Word of God, but you can hear the Word of God, but it bounces off your forehead. It goes in one ear and out the other. Listen, all of us have been there before we got saved. And I can just about guarantee you, all of us probably heard preaching before we got saved. Would y'all agree with that? Everybody in here? How many of y'all heard preaching before you got saved? Okay? And it didn't bring you to salvation right then, did it? Amen? You know why? Because your heart wasn't ready to receive it yet. But he said, you know what? Some hear the word of God and they don't understand what they're hearing. And then the wicked one comes, the devil comes along, and he doesn't want them to meditate on what they've heard. So how does he pluck it out of their heart? He puts other things in its place. He distracts with other things, the cares of this world. Things come up and it carries them away from that thought and they don't meditate on it, and the Holy Ghost of God doesn't keep working because the thought's not there. The meditation's not there. What's heard is not staying put. Amen? And he said, "This is he which receives seed by the wayside." That guy's not going to get saved. Number 20, verse 20. "But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," you say, what's anon mean? It means immediately. "With joy receiveth it." All right? It lands on a stony place. Person hears it and says, "Man, that's good, that's great. Oh, that's awesome." But you see, the seed landed on a stony place. And he said, "Yet hath he not root in himself." There's no soil there. There's no place for the root to take hold. There's no place for the roots to grab. It's just laying upon a stone. And the Bible said, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." In other words, the excitement of hearing the word and being a little bit enlightened and understanding it, and there's some excitement behind it. He says, he dureth for a while, sticks with it for a little bit, "for when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended." You know what happens then? Just walks away from everything he heard. I've met people like that. That you say, well, did it get saved? I don't believe so. There was no place for the root to take hold. They got religion for a little while. Y'all heard it. I mean, Brother Lonnie, you know about that. Hey, a lot of people jailhouse religion, you know. Hey, they like it, but when they get out in the real world and they see it's hard to live as a Christian, well, they walk away from that. Praise God, you didn't do that, but there's a lot of them that did. Listen, I ain't got a lot of faith in that jailhouse religion. Amen. I want something. I want to see something real. something that produces something. Amen? Listen, anybody can act like something's good for a little while, but again, when it gets hard to serve God, then it's over with. They're done. Amen? They didn't have it to begin with. Now, verse 22 says, "And also, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word." Well, he heard it, but look here. "And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful and never produces." You see, never comes forth and manifests. I was out in the, I've got a picture on my phone. I was going to blow it up, and I never did do it. But I was out in a blackberry patch out in our pasture. And I was standing there, and I was looking around. I was trying to find some more blackberries, and they were all gone. They'd all been eaten or dried up. And I noticed there was another bush over there, and we got those big, tall coneflowers. I don't know. People call them all different kinds of names. I don't know what they are. They got the big, great big tall middle of it, you know, the big yellow flowers, big old tall ones. And I noticed one had tried to grow up through that blackberry bush. Or no, I'm sorry, it was through a locust tree. That's what it was at. It was coming up through a locust tree. And that big, which would totally be a tall, big old tall, sturdy flower, was curled up, and the flower head of it was twisted and dried. It never did mature. Why? Because it was wrapped up in that thorn bush. And I thought about this verse when I saw that. And I thought, yeah, that's the way a lot of people are. They're so caught up in this world that they never give what God is trying to do in them a chance to come forth, and they never become anything for God. And you say, well, is that person saved or not? I couldn't tell you, honestly, whether this person he's describing here is truly saved or not. But I know this. If he's truly saved, he missed what God had for him. It never became what God had intended. And that person, when they stand before Christ, is going to be ashamed. They're going to be ashamed of their life, of their relationship with Christ. But he says in verse 23, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit." See, it didn't just stop with getting saved. A lot of people say, "Well, I got saved, that's good enough." No, that's not good enough. That's good enough to get into heaven, but that's not good enough. Just getting saved ain't it. That's it, I'm done. I can wait on Jesus now. No, you don't sit down and wait for Jesus. Amen? You get busy for Jesus. You get up and live for God. You get up and let God bring forth his manifested presence in your life, and you become all that God wants you to be. That's what you do. You don't get lazy on God and give a half-hearted effort. Amen. He that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, comes forth to maturity, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It takes root in him. He blossoms. He grows. He matures and bears fruit. Galatians 5:22-23, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law." These are the things that are brought forth in the life of a Christian. These are the things that Jesus looks for in your life and my life. This is what he wants to see. He wants to see his love in us. His love. Love toward the brethren. Love enough compassion to witness to the lost. He wants to see this joy, the joy of being saved, coming forth from you. He wants to see his peace ruling in your life. He wants to see you being long-suffering and not quick-tempered, not flying off the handle. He wants us to have a grip on things because he's in control, not because we are, because we're not. That's why we lose patience, because we feel out of control. We need to put all our trust in him. He wants to see goodness. Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good. He wants to see goodness in his people. Amen. Imitating the one who brought them forth from the seed. He wants to see faith in his people. Trust in him. Not worrying, not fretting, not giving, breaking down over every little thing that happens. Faith. Meekness. Standing that we have God's power behind us, but yet we don't go forth like these Muslims and these Catholics the way they've done for years. And just, if you don't believe what we believe, we'll just kill you. Listen, Christians are not that way. We don't force it on anybody. That's meekness. If you find a violent Christian, you ain't found a real one. Amen. Christians are not violent people. Christians will stand their ground, but Christians are not violent people by nature. Temperance. The ability to control themselves. Oh, that's part of being a Christian. Being able to control yourself. Amen. Listen to me. You'll bring it forth if the seed's planted in the right environment. Thirdly, if you have the seed of the Word of God, if you have the seed, you have the possibility of endless propagation. You understand what I mean? Propagation, hey, you plant a plant in your yard or your garden, and it's going to produce fruit. You take the seed from the fruit, you save it, next year you plant it, you got more plants. You save seed, you plant that the next year, you got the possibility of endless propagation. You can continue to plant year after year after year after year after year. Let me just give you a little story on this too. Historians all agree that there was a time in Egypt and in Syria when one grain of wheat produced 100 grains. There was 100 grains produced for every one grain of wheat. That's how fertile their ground was. They say that in Babylon, one grain of wheat would bring forth 200 grains. But we're just going to work off of the 100 grains to this morning. If you understand, one grain of seed planted produces 100 grains. All right, one grain of corn produces an ear. Eh? That's a whole lot more than one grain. Amen? So that's what we're talking about. But let's say you took one grain of corn. And let's say we had the soil just like they had back in Egypt and in Syria. You took one grain of wheat, and you planted that one grain of wheat, and it produced 100 grains of wheat. You saved all 100 grains the following year, and you planted those 100 grains. And if they all produced 100 grains each, you would produce 10,000 grains of wheat. The third year, if you planted all 10,000 grains of wheat, guess what? You would have 1,000,000 grains of wheat the third year. The fourth harvest would produce 100,000,000 grains of wheat. Fourth year. Well, let me just say this. That in a bushel basket, there are approximately 820,000 grains of wheat. Okay? Y'all understand a bushel basket. Okay? But, you know, y'all all seen peas in them. All right? By the fourth year, you would produce, out of that one seed, 122 bushel baskets of grain. 4 years later, you would have 12,200,000,000 bushel baskets of wheat out of that one grain. Do you understand that's enough bread to feed the entire world for a year out of one grain of wheat? In 8 years, enough to feed everybody on the planet for a year. John 15:1-8, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. The reason why we are the branches are what produce the fruit, right? Out on the branches, that's where the flowers bud. That's where the fruit is produced. He said, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Well, that it may bring forth more fruit. All right, I'll use a tomato plant. Again, we've talked about this before. when you're looking at a tomato plant, that has those branches that come out. And immediately under those branches that come out, right underneath them, there's other branches that come out. They're suckers. They don't produce. All they do is take up more sap, and they don't do any good. They're just there. So what you do is you go through there and you clip all them off. Why? Because all that sap is going to produce green leaves on those branches that do nothing. You remove that, the sap goes to the branches that produce fruit. So what is God saying here? He says, if there's a branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. He says, that's never going to produce in that life. So let me get that out of there. Again, there are people that are never going to do anything for God, and God doesn't try to do any more with them because he knows they're not going to. But you know what? The ones that are bearing fruit, guess what God does? God says, well, this over here is not useful to this person anymore. Let's cut that out. And this over here, that's not helping produce fruit, so let's cut that out. He purgeth it. He cuts back everything in our life that is weighing us down from becoming what he wants us to be. God's not trying to hurt you when he takes things out of your life. God is trying to make you more into what he wants you to be. He wants you to bring forth his character. He wants you to bring forth after your kind. Amen? So God wants to do everything he can to make sure that this plant that you are, this plant that is to produce fruit, he's a master gardener, folks. He knows what cuts he's making. He knows what he's taking away from you. And he understands that it may hurt, but it's going to heal, and it's going to produce, and it's going to benefit you, and it's going to bring him glory in the long run. Oh, if we just get that through our heads and not be fearful of what God will do in our life, if we just let him have his way, that's what he wants to do. He's not going to mishandle us. He's not going to hurt us. He's going to do what's best in our life. And he says he does it that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what he wants. Christ, everywhere he went, it was as if there was fruit falling off of him everywhere. You understand? If Jesus was a fruit tree, he'd be weighted down to the ground. Everywhere he went about doing good. It was just blessings from God popping out of him everywhere. God wants to use you in the same manner. Amen. He said he wants us to be conformed into the image of his son. He intends for us to bear fruit. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Listen, the word of God has a cleansing power in your life. Abide in me and I in you. Stick with me. Stay by my side. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Oh, and we tried. Oh, hadn't we tried? Hadn't we tried? We've tried to produce fruit on our own. We've tried to do what we could to please God on our own, and it makes us frustrated. It makes us disgusted with ourselves, and we realize that we can't do it, yet we still try to keep living the Christian life without his power. You can't. He said, listen, except that branch abide in the vine. It can't bear fruit of itself. He said, and no more can ye except ye abide in me. Unless we stay connected close to him, letting the word of God flow through our life, we will never bear fruit for God. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, if you get close to Jesus, if you'll get in the Word of God, if you'll let it bring forth all of its power in your life, I can promise you, you'll bring forth so much fruit you won't know what you're doing. Amen. It'll just blow your mind how God will work through you. If you'll take yourself and plant yourself in this book and you'll let this book live through you. He said, well, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Why did he curse the fig tree that didn't produce? Because it wasn't doing anything. It was of no use. And he looks at some of us, and I wonder what he thinks about us. You're of no use. God help us. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Look in the mirror if you want to blame somebody. It's not us. It's not him, or rather, it's us. If we're doing nothing, it's because we don't have Jesus working in our life like we should. I don't know. I wasn't there when you got saved, but you ought to go back and check it. He said, if a man abide not in me, listen, I'm telling you, that's not talking about hell here. He said, but if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. That ain't talking about going to hell. It's just saying, if you let your life be a waste, God will take it and destroy it. Because it's not doing any good for him. Because everything is for his glory. And if it's not for his glory, he takes it away. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you need the seed abiding in you. His word is the seed. His word will produce after its kind. His word will bring forth something beautiful, beautiful in your life. I mean, just think about it. We were talking about earlier. All the different kinds of flowers that grow. All the different kinds of vegetables that grow. All the different kinds of fruit that grows. God made all of that. And that stuff is pleasing. That stuff makes us feel good. That stuff makes us feel good. Amen. Just being around it. Amen. Just take a visit to a nursery and walk there and look at everything. You'll enjoy looking at everything. It makes you feel better. It's life. It's creation. It's what God did. Let it happen in your life. You'll look back after a life lived for God and you'll say, my God, what have you done in my life? Just look at all the blessings you brought about. And not only that, but someday you'll stand before him, the master gardener. I think about one of them shows where people bring their roses and they bring them for the judges to look at. And the judges, I mean, you could set them all, you could set three roses on a table, and I couldn't tell you the difference between all three of them, you see. Because I don't know roses very well. But I can tell you this, those judges, they are master judges of roses. And they know everything there is to know about those roses. And so when they look at them, they know exactly how they're to look. They know exactly how they're to smell. They know exactly everything about them, you see. And when we stand before Jesus, he'll know every single thing about us. And he knows exactly how we were to turn out. And if what he sees before him is a deformed representation of what he intended us to be, he's not going to be pleased with us at all. Don't kid yourselves. God's not playing this thing halfway. God's dead serious about it. It's not something you should be scared about. It's something you should be humbled about. It's something that should cause you to have great reverence toward God. It should cause you to humble yourself before God. It should cause you to say, Lord, I don't want to come before you someday and be embarrassed and ashamed of the way that I turned out because I did not let the Word of God rule in my life. Oh, God, help me. That's where we need to be. Oh, he said, if you'll just abide in me, if you'll spend every day, listen, every time something good comes in your life, you ought to stop and just praise God and thank him for it. Listen, every time something bad happens, you ought to come to him and say, Lord, I don't understand why this came into my life, but Lord, I know you're trying to show me something. Lord, please don't let me miss what I'm supposed to learn by this. He's doing it for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All of it. So, Lord, what are you doing? I'm pruning you. That's what I'm doing. Lord, what are you doing? I'm just trying to get you where you can grow better. That's all he's trying to do. Let my words abide in you. And he said, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Because, listen, when you're there for his glory and his glory alone, God will give you what you need to bring him glory. And he said, herein is my Father glorified. Here's how my Father gets the glory. That you bring forth much fruit. Listen, if this seed's been planted in you and it's starting to grow, listen, you walk out these doors of this church and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. Right outside the doors of this church a couple weeks ago, I had four squash plants. I brought a bunch up here. I had a bunch of extra. I give some to Brother Ricky, give some to Brother James. The other ones, I planted right out here in the flower bed of this church. The soil is very dry and very compact. If you walk out the doors of this church, you'll look and see what happens when plants aren't taken well care of. Because those plants need to be watered regularly. They need water. Listen, this is the washing of the water by the Word. Listen, you get in this, it'll water you. It'll give you nourishment. I can tell you, I water my plants at night, and I go out there in the morning, the next morning, and they just look better. You get in the book, and you let the Word of God water your soul. It'll revive you. It'll bring forth life in you. Because Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. I challenge you this morning to look in the mirror. Let the Holy Ghost of God show you where you're at in your faith. Let the Word of God reveal to you this morning whether or not you need to get on your face before God and ask His forgiveness for the fact that you haven't let become all you should become. I urge you this morning not to try to hurry up and get out of this invitation and go home and eat, but I'm telling you, you ought to come this morning and do business with God. Father, bless the invitation now. Bless this time. Father, I pray that the Word of God would manifest itself, Lord, in us. The Holy Ghost of God draw us to decisions that need to be made, Father. I pray, Lord, that each one, Lord, according to whatever they need, Father, that you'd work in their life. Lord, if folks need to come and get on their knees before you, Lord, and humble themselves before you, Lord, I pray they would and not hold back. Father, please bring revival in our church. Please bring revival in our lives. Oh, Lord, we need you, and we plead with you to work in us. Oh, God, we need you. Oh, Lord, please. For Christ's honor and glory. Lord, that it all eventually, Lord, just brings you all the praise and all the glory. Let our lives be that for you. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.
To ransom thee, surrender.